Hello, and welcome to episode 16 of Inside the BDO / WDF with me, Andrew Sinclair. You know, we're recording this podcast at a really difficult time for the world, and we find ourselves in a situation that we've really had nothing like in, well, I don't really, in any of our lifetimes before, nothing like this with the COVID-19 outbreak and most of Europe and the wider world in lockdown, no live dance anywhere. So after the Isle of Man Open, Masters and Classic in the middle of March, there's really nothing on the horizon, and it's almost every day now that the WDF, the BDO, the PDC are announcing that events have been cancelled or moved or postponed or rescheduled. I mean, purely in the BDO WDF side of things, we've seen, you know, events moved in Hungary, Greece, Germany, Estonia. Obviously, John Scott did the double last year. They've been cancelled. Iceland, Turkey, you know, Russia, Finland, but also further afield, we've had Australia suspend events, New Zealand about to suspend events, the America's Cup scheduled for July, that's been moved, and also America and Canada more or less in shutdown as well in terms of darts. So, you know, it's a strange time to be recording a podcast, and it seems a bit moot in a sense to discuss the results of the events over the last month or so, because, you know, they're building towards World Championships and World Masters events that, one, we still don't know the details of because we're waiting for the WDF to reveal more. But, you know, at a time like this, those details can wait, because keeping safe, protecting your families, you know, protecting the health services, that's obviously far more important. But, you know, ultimately they're building something that may have to be delayed, pushed back. We might have to have an abridged season. It kind of feels weird to be talking about those events when, you know, there are no real events on the horizon. That strange one this time. And I do discuss the impact of the coronavirus outbreak with the two guests on this episode, which are recent Isle of Man Open semi-finalist Scott Williams and Romanian Classic winner Amanda Harwood. You know, both players at different stages of their careers, but players who've had a really good last 4 or 5 months or so, and players who look poised to, you know, have a stronger year whenever things get back to a sense of normality. Looking at the events that did happen over the last month or so, or since the last pod came out, we had the Scottish Open in Renfrew, and Jim Williams got his first ranking title of the year, and it was a thoroughly deserved one. Jim was, if you look at the stats on Dart Connect, Jim was by far and away the best player over the course of the weekend in terms of his scoring, his finishing. He looked super composed. Title was, you know, a while coming, and he really deserved it. And in the ladies' competition, Beau Greaves added to her already impressive collection of titles. We then went over to Slovakia the following weekend, and there were wins of 4 different players. Chris Landman won the Slovak Men's Open. It was a first Category A of Landman's career and just the second ranking title of his career. And I mean, it's crazy to think Landman is someone who, the way he plays with his rapid throw, he can vary in terms of his consistency. You know, the scoring is mostly always there, but sometimes that can be the area of the game that lets him down. But he looked really strong in Slovakia. He did well in the Masters the day before. So, you know, it was a good indication going into the Open. And, yeah, the best starts all the way through. And he beat Sebastian Saez 6-1 fairly comfortably in the final. For Landman, it was a first title since the Catalonian Open in September 2017. So a long while coming for the Dutchman, who, you know, will be known to, you know, fans of the BDO and WDF side of things because he's been at the last few World Championships. It was good to see Chris get a win. And the ladies' Slovak Open, the title went to Lorraine Winstanley, who beat Laura Turner after Laura missed a number of match darts. And in the Masters, the titles went to Wayne Warren, who picked up his 3rd title of the year. Another great showing from the 2020 BDO World Champion. And the ladies' event went to Maria O'Brien, who won a title in Samarin for the 2nd year in a row. So great stuff for OB. You know, as I've said before, I really expected her to push on after the 2019 Worlds. And perhaps didn't happen with the level of consistency that I expected. But, you know, she looked really good in Slovakia and got title to prove it. We were supposed to have 2 events in West Fries, the West Friesian events in the Netherlands. They'd been upgraded in terms of category. There was TV coverage. It all looked going very well. And then very suddenly it wasn't. Looks as though someone ran off with the money and the events were cancelled. And I still don't know what the situation is for players in terms of getting their money back on entry, on hotels. But yeah, those tournaments going up and, you know, going up in a bit of a shambles left a sour taste for a number of players. And I know there were a number of people disgruntled about it. And We also had a couple of events in Canada. We had the Halifax Open and the Great Vancouver Open. Halifax Open titles went to Patricia Farrell, veteran of the ladies game, who's been at the BDO World Championship before, and the men's title went to Nick Smith. And the Vancouver Open titles went to Rory Hansen and Carol Herriott. Their victories, they were all guaranteed spots at the new Masters, World Masters on the WDF side of thing event at the end of the year. And then obviously we had the Isle of Man. And, you know, there was some, I don't think there was ever a suggestion the Isle of Man event wouldn't happen because of the coronavirus. But, you know, there was a sense at that point that the darting world was changing and that, you know, the sporting world had already started to change. And the wider world had changed as well. So I think it was possibly a slightly strange atmosphere in the air. I think maybe Isle of Man in general were a bit quieter than it has been for these events in previous years. But there was still some fantastic action over the course of the weekend. The events were exceptionally well run, as always, by the EDO. They'd always do a fantastic job. And this year looked no different. And obviously the main story coming out of the weekend was Fallon Sherrick, the woman of the hour, winning four more titles. She won the ladies pairs with Casey Gallagher. And then she won all three singles titles. So that's the Classic, the Masters and the Open. You know, you look at Fallon's dominance, it's not really a surprise. She's really stepped up her game over the last few months. And I think, you know, those wins at the PDC World Championship have just taken her to another level in terms of her confidence and her big match mentality. You see her in those finals. I mean, one of them, I mean, she beat Beau Greaves in all of them. But there was one where Beau was 3-1 up and had darts to win, missed them. Fallon was ice cool. You know, took out three legs on the spin to win the title and then beat her twice more in the space of the afternoon to pick up the trio titles. And then look on the men's side of things, you know, the Classic was won by Cameron Menzies. First title for Cameron in a long while. Obviously, you know, he's come agonisingly close to a PDC tour card on a couple of occasions. But a good win for the Scot. The Isle of Man Masters title went to the Frenchman Thibaut Tricon. It was his third career ranking title. He is someone who has, over the last year or so, shot to prominence, and he produced some great darts over the course of the weekend. He beat Neil Duff, the Northern Ireland international, in a really high quality and close final. Enjoyable one to watch, that one. And then the Isle of Man Open was won by Wales's Mike Warburton, a fourth career title for Warburton. He's now, you know, top three in the world in the BDO rankings, moving up strongly in the WDF rankings. Some excellent stuff. And one of the people who beat along the way in the Isle of Man Open was, well, he's Cambridgeshire and Lincolnshire's Scott Williams. Scott was someone who maybe not a lot of people knew when he qualified for the BDO World Championships this year. And he beat the likes of Carl Hamilton and Wes Newton en route to qualifying in Greys. And then obviously played in the World Championship, went out in the preliminary round to Justin Thompson in a close and scrappy game. But since then, he's really kicked on. He had a couple of positive runs at Q School, racked up £400 on the Challenge Tour, and then made a quarterfinal and a semi-final over in Douglas. So I managed to grab a chat with Scott earlier in the week, and this is what he had to say. I am now delighted to be joined by recent Isle of Man Open semi-finalist Scott Williams. How are you, Scott?
Oh, very well, thank you. How are you, Andre?
I'm very well, coping as well as we can with the whole lockdown that we now find ourselves
absolutely.
In. I mean, it's been quite a, you know, a whirlwind few months for you as a player that people, you know, really started to know and take notice of, and that all started at the back end of last year when you qualified for the BDO World Pro. What were your expectations like going into those World Championship qualifiers?
Honestly, I had none. I didn't really prepare as other people would. I didn't find anything out about Justin, who I played. I didn't really do any research. It was just a matter of practice the same, just do everything the same, turn up to league games, Super League, County, just do everything exactly the same, and then just enjoy the experience while I was there.
And what was it like playing someone like Justin Thompson, who's maybe not the biggest scorer, but he's a proper old school grinder?
I've got to know him since then, and I can honestly say it was boring. Being up there playing against him, it's not my style. How I threw myself wasn't my style. I was nervous, and there was different other things in the back of your head as you're playing on stage. But yeah, Justin, a lovely bloke, but he was not the kind of person I was hoping to draw.
Do you think you would have been suited against someone who maybe, like yourself, was a debutant, or maybe a faster thrower?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, someone with a little bit more of a rhythm, not someone so methodical. And I mean, I spoke to him after the game, and he says he has a routine that he does every time he throws, and it takes, I think it worked out about between 18 and 20 seconds per three darts, whereas I'm somewhere between 6 and 9 on a, you know, if I take my time a little bit. But yeah, so someone new to it, someone like myself. Obviously, there was a couple that did very well that was debutants, like Justin Hood and Ben Hazel. They did very well as debutants. But yeah, someone like Gabriel Pascuru. I can't pronounce his name. But yeah, someone like him would have been a little bit better for myself, I think.
But did you still think it was a positive learning experience?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I spoke to some of the ex pros and people after the game, and they give me tips. And I spoke to them afterwards. I spent a couple of days there. I went and supported Leighton Bennett because he's a friend of mine. Spoke to other people there and people I didn't see. So I took a lot of positives out of that, even though the game didn't go my way. It was. One of them experiences that I'd not been playing very long at all. It was something that I've always wanted to do, and I've done it now. So the challenge is to do it again, or to become better and do it again.
So you say you've not been around that long. What was your kind of background in darts before you obviously came through the qualifier, a bit like of Carl Hamilton, Wes Newton, to get to the Worlds? What was your kind of experience in darts in terms of competitions, just how you got involved in the game before then?
Yeah, darts has always been in my family, but I've always played. It was always once a week on a Tuesday night, helping a local pub team out, and then that was it. And then all of a sudden, I've been in a local league playing, and I've been picked up by who is still my Super League captain, Ian Tilley, who everyone in the BDO will know at some point because he's had a lot to do with them. But yeah, he got me in September 2018 to the first game of that Super League season for Cambridgeshire, and yeah, I've been there since.
So, I mean, really, that's not long at all. So do you find that you're, you know, every competition you play in or every kind of Super League game, you're learning all the time?
Yeah, Super League, not so much. Yeah, Super League, not so much. County, I still learn quite a lot from. But it's mainly going out and playing in competitions, playing in little opens, or not specifically locally, but, you know, travel a little bit, good money, good competition, going to any competition and tournament where there's a good field is always, whether I win or lose, is always pleasurable because of the players that are there.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you went to Q School after the World Championships. Was that a decision you'd made before you went to the O2? Was it a decision you made afterwards?
Q School was, I was going to go to Q School the year before. But me and my wife got married. It was our first wedding anniversary that weekend. And as everyone knows, women control our lives, and I was not allowed to go. So I had to leave it that year, and yeah, just did county, and I don't think I did it. I did no BDO tour at all until the Isle of Man, which was my first one.
So then when you did go to Q School this year, I'm assuming there wasn't a massive clash with your wedding anniversary this time round?
No, my wedding anniversary was on the Monday, so I got away with it this year. My birthday was on the Saturday, but my wedding anniversary was on the Monday, so I got away with it.
How did you find Q School? I mean, what did you make of the setup, and what were your highlights and takeaways from the 4 days?
I mean, the setup of the, what the PDC do there is unbelievable. You have, it's all individual stalls. You have plenty of room. The boards are excellent. Obviously, the scoring system of Dart Connect is nearly faultless, and it's unbelievable the way you go about getting yourself on with the four. Yeah, there was four people going about managing the boards, and it was so smooth. Long days, same with the Challenge Tour. Long days if you do well, but very. Is something you need to do as a dart player. If you're a good dart player, Q School is something you need to experience.
And I mean, you say your birthday was on the Saturday. On the Saturday, you had a great run, and then you lost in a last leg decider to Aaron Beeney, who went on to win a card. And I mean, you know, it's easy to say if you'd won that, maybe you'd have gone all the way, but that would have been some birthday if you'd managed to nick that ninth leg.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, I was really frustrated. I look back at his results. He had 2 days. His first 2 days, he lost with subpar 70 averages. And then I drew him. I had a couple of nice games. Then I drew him thinking, okay, he had a 90. I think he had a 90 average just before he played me. And then we've batted back and forth. And then the last leg, he's gone at 180, 41, 180. And then finished where I missed tops for a 137 to win the game. And then he went on to beat my friend Jared Cole in the very last game to get his tour card, taking it 87 on the bullseye, and Jared missed three darts at door 16. He had a really good run that day, and fair play to him for getting his tour card, and I hope he does very well. But I think he will personally lose his tour card again in a couple of years, and I don't think he'll get it back.
But I think that's maybe the sort of thing maybe you go through as a dart player and understand that, you know, sometimes it's just not going to go your way, and sometimes all the luck will be on your side, as maybe he found on that Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, after me, he had to beat Adam Mould from Buckinghamshire, very good player. But then he had to beat Martin Atkins from Wigan. He did that. So, I mean, on the day, he earned himself the card. But now is when the hard work starts, and you know he's got to pick it up, because I don't think he's had anything over an 83 average, and he's won half a dozen legs in all the games he's played. Like I said, I wish him all the best, but I don't see he's going to be one of these players that doesn't do very well personally.
But I mean, that didn't hold you back, and then you went to the Challenge Tour and you picked £400 on your first Challenge Tour weekend. Was that more than you'd expected to going in?
Again, I played some fabulous players, excellent players. I played those a couple of times. I did, with the Challenge Tour being two competitions in one day, I did well in the first competition of each day. So number one and three, I did well. By the second competition, by the time it starts at 5:30 and you've played six games of darts already, fatigue takes over. I mean, to be fair, I lost to Tony Newell, who had a tour card a few years ago, and then I lost to Scott Mitchell, who everyone knows who Scott Mitchell is. You know what he does. He's steady, bangs it in, then finishes it. I had no expectations going into that. Same with the Q School. It's like, just go play your darts, throw your darts, and see how it goes. And that's what I did. And I was pretty pleased with how it went. Apart from on the Sunday, I went 4-0 up against Graham Usher and lost 5-4. That killed me.
I can imagine. And you just... Yeah. Was it a case that you just felt the game slipping away, or did you feel that you were still in it all the way through?
It was a weird game, because I've watched Graham a few times at different opens and stuff like that, and he can be ruthless. And I went 4-0 up, and all of a sudden it's something turned where I stopped hitting the treble 20 or treble 19, and he wouldn't stop missing it. I think the last five legs were all under 15 darts, and it just went from under me. I had no chance in the end. But that starts, isn't it? That's how it goes.
The Challenge Tour is, you know, put on hold in a sense because of the whole coronavirus outbreak. And how does that affect you, you know, as someone who's really, you know, you're in a purple patch of form? How does that affect you with your practice and stuff? Because everything around you is kind of being stopped.
Yeah, I mean, practice-wise, I don't do a massive amount of practice anyway. I probably half an hour a day, split up into a couple of half-hour sessions maybe, because I don't, around where I am, there's no one of, there's no top quality, there's no PDC players or top quality BDO players that are banging in 90 averages every game to practice with. So it would just be like going to a league game if I were to practice with any friends. Sorry if you listen to this, friends, but that's how it is and they understand. But yeah, practicing will just be the same as I used to do every day, in the middle of the days when I can, when I have a chance to.
And how is the, you know, the coronavirus, sort of the elephant in the room at the moment, how is that affecting you and your family?
My wife has had to work from home now, so she's doing that. I work from home anyway, so that doesn't bother us so much. But yeah, social life and obviously darts itself and seeing family, it's an absolute killer. But we have to stay home and we have to contain this COVID-19 so we can get it over and done with quicker and we can get out there quicker.
Yeah, very, very true. But I mean, before that kind of shut everything down, you were able to go to the Isle of Man. And as I said at the start, you made the semis of the Open. But I mean, you had a really good weekend. You did very well in the Masters. And across the Masters and the Open, you beat some great players. Like Dean Reynolds, Ryan Hogarth, Richard Veenstra, Ben Hazel, before you fell to Mike Warburton and Thibaut Tricot in the respective competitions.
Hey, all excellent players. you don't lose many people that aren't excellent, but it was an excellent weekend, well set up. I mean, it was my first BDO and EDO and WDF competition I've ever attended, and I only turned up because of my pairs partner Jamie Robinson asked me if I wanted to go 2 or 3 weeks before, so that's literally the only reason I turned up, but I'm pleased I did.
How were you, you know, the competitions, the Open obviously ended that defeat to Mike Warburton, and there seemed to be an issue between you two after the game. What happened there?
Mike was being a little bit unprofessional whilst I was trying to throw. He was making little noises and clicking his darts and, you know, standing really close to me behind the hockey. It worked. He wanted to do it. I was told afterwards someone overheard him saying that he did it on purpose. I mean, I was told beforehand, before I played him, that he was going to try something because apparently that's the kind of player he is, which is a bit frustrating because, as you see, he won it in the end. He's a very good darts player and he doesn't need to do that. I don't see why feel the need to have to try and put the other player off. Why can't you just play darts and show them you're better by doing that? But yeah, congratulations to him for winning. But it was a frustrating evening.
And I mean, you could see it affected your performance as well, because your average was, you know, below 76, and in comparison to the standard we've seen from you, Q School, Challenge Tour, obviously we know you're capable of a lot more than that.
There was things during the day as well, but when it was the day before, I played on stage against Alan Edwards, felt comfortable, threw very well, but with the Sunday being finals day and pairs, even you get to the final, you're not throwing many darts. So the day before, I'd had 6 or 7 games leading up to it. I felt good, felt confident, felt comfortable, and that helped. But when you even practicing, there's only so much practicing you can do before you get bored. So that didn't help so much. I didn't really have a good rhythm, but it is what it is. It didn't happen. I will go on to the next one and, you know, try and better that. That's the plan.
And I mean, after the Isle of Man, you ended up having a practice session with Rob Cross. How did that come about?
Yeah, one of his sponsors, RBS, actually lives just down the road from me, and he gave me a ring on the way as I was on the way back from the Isle of Man, saying that Rob was down because they was getting ready to go to Newcastle for the Premier League, which obviously got cancelled. So he's asked me if I wanted to go for a practice with Rob, and luckily I had friends at the Green Dragon in Swineshead that opened up early, or opened up privately for us. We had the back room and the dark room, and there was just a handful of us in there while me and Rob were practicing. It was excellent for me, and it's something I really, really needed, and really glad that we could do it. I'm hoping that it happens again in the future. And someone like that to practice with constantly, it helps massively.
Well, definitely, it must have been an experience to savour as well after, you know, a big weekend in the Isle of Man.
Yeah, I mean, I think I put on a Facebook post that it was an excellent consolation prize, and that's exactly what it was. It was just something to finish the weekend off nicely. I had to ask permission from the wife to make sure it was all right, because I'd been away for nearly a week, but she was absolutely fine, and it happened. So I'm hopefully going to see him again when this all this blows over.
I mean, obviously, you know, everything is on hold at the moment, but what are the hopes and ambitions for you that you have as a darts player, both kind of, you know, as short-term as you can be at the moment, kind of this year, maybe the next 18 months, but then maybe long-term as well?
Everyone's long-term is to get a tour card and play on the tour. I've had a couple of phone calls from the tour manager this season to play on the Pro Tour, one whilst... whilst I was away in the Isle of Man because of the I'm assuming it's because the airport's shutting down in all the European countries, and players couldn't get over. So I've missed two chances to play in the Pro Tour. So that would be short term. I'd like to play in the Pro Tour just as an experience. I don't mean to win. I've got friends that have been on there and done very well. BDO as well, or WDF, or the Tri Nations, whatever's happening with that. I'd like to carry on competing in that, and, you know, try and progress, get better, and then go back to Q School again in January and try and better what I did this time.
Oh, definitely, and I think certainly the form you've shown over the last few months, you've definitely got the ability, and, you know, you're improving all the time, so I wouldn't doubt that those goals are very far off at all.
No, well, they are goals, and I'll just keep going and plugging away, and if it happens, it happens. I know some very good dart players that have tried and are better than me, and in their heyday are 10 times better than me and still haven't got tour cards. And as darts is getting bigger and better, competition's getting harder, you're having these 16, 17 year old lads that are coming through that with some unbelievable talent, and it's going to be hard. I mean, if I was playing darts at their age and they had the channels that they had, I'd hopefully have a tour card by now, but unfortunately not. We've got to play it by how it is. Yeah.
Well, it's been my absolute pleasure to speak to you, Scott, and thank you very much for coming on.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for listening to me. Hopefully everyone knows who I am now. That'd be nice.
I hope you enjoyed that chat with Scott. I know I did. He's a really positive and confident guy. He's had a real purple patch over the last few months, and I think when we get back to a sense of normality, he's someone that people are going to be getting to know a lot more about and seeing a lot more of in the months and, you know, year 18 months to come. Some interesting comments about his game with Mike Warburton. Obviously I wasn't there, so I can't comment. There definitely seemed to be some issue between them, and, you know, something was affecting him, but it's not my place to comment on what did or what didn't happen, but I certainly thought Scott's comments were very interesting. A version of the interview with Scott will be in the next edition of the Darts Planet TV magazine, the April edition of the mag. Some really great stuff being produced by the Darts Planet TV team at the moment, of which I'm a member, and it'll be good now I've got a bit more time on my hands to be able to, you know, put the interview with Scott in the magazine. Hopefully it'll make for a good read, and hopefully some of you will go out and, you know, buy a copy and support the work that's being done. Now, on to, you know, another couple of events that were cancelled on the busy schedule were the events in Torremolinos, which, you know, those events were often used as a stick to kind of beat the Jacqueline regime with, people saying that they spent more time promoting Torremolinos and Northern Cyprus than they did on other things. I'm not going to comment on those, but one of the things that was also notable amongst the coronavirus outbreak was Des Jacqueline's resignation as BDO chairman. The statement he released on the BDO website was incredibly brief, sort of basically said, obviously this isn't verbatim, but he basically said, "Hi all, I've stepped down. Thank you for your time. Goodbye." There was a much longer rant on Facebook about the people who he felt had undermined him from the start. You know, social media, that, you know, people constantly getting at him, people not knowing and commenting on things they don't understand or know about. You know, and when he resigned, I didn't want to, you know, necessarily air my views straight away. I was still trying to articulate them. And so I put a tweet out from the Inside the BDO account and said, you know, what if you could describe it, his regime in one word, what would it be? And the overwhelming response was negative. You know, people said it was shambolic. You know, I think there were a couple that intimated that it had ruined the BDO. Some that said it was a joke, a farce. There are a couple of people who, you know, kind of said that, I think Gary Stafford, who's been on the show a couple of times, he used a German word, which basically means, you know, making things worse through an attempt to try and make them better. And I honestly think that's, you know, the best way of assessing it, because I have always said this and I will maintain, when Des took over, I think he took over with the right intentions. I think he genuinely thought he could do a good job. He thought he was the right person for the role. And, you know, he saw himself as the person who could take the organisation forward. You certainly saw that, you know, the interviews he did with the Metro and others at the start of 2019 were very bombastic. You know, he clearly had a lot of faith in what he was capable of doing. And, you know, truth be told, there are some positives. You know, you can look at the TV deal with Eurosport to get the Masters, the World Trophy, the World Championship broadcast once again. And, okay, you know, there were some issues with the coverage at, you know, the World Championship this year, and obviously there were the issues with payment at the World Masters, but I thought in general, the TV deal was massively important. Big fan of that. You know, securing new venues for the World Trophy and the World Masters, and the Circus Tavern, King George's Hall, and the O2, obviously, for the World Championship. All good venues. You know, they all good venues that you could settle in for the future, really build upon. There were some positives, and I think, truthfully, I think he did come in with the right intentions. And I also think, in his defence, I think some of the issues he encountered were there before he took over. I do think some of the issues he faced were not of his own doing. They were things that had been done by previous administrations that, you know, he just found when he got in the job. But that is not to say that under him there hasn't been a marked decline in the organisation. You know, you only need to look at the financial results and the figures in Companies House. They don't make for pretty reading. The company went from, you know, the BDO as a company went from making a five-figure profit to six-figure losses. You know, that doesn't happen without things going very, very wrong. And again, you know, I will say I don't know that necessarily everything is his fault, and I think the people who say everything is his fault are wrong. You know, we don't live in a world where everything is, you know, has, you know, one unilateral cause. I think everything is multilateral in a sense, and definitely multiple contributing factors. But, you know, I understand why people have a negative view, and there are definitely things you can criticize, and I will criticize them. Other people have, you know, I mean, you only need to look at the, you know, the BDO this year, the Twitter account, they've tweeted nothing basically since the World Championships. They brought in a new media agency. What have they done? Nothing. They did a decent enough job last year when it was, you know, Laura Turner doing sterling work with the Twitter and the website stuff. Brought a media agency in. So that stopped. Her work stopped. And now everything stopped. Okay, they've lost points for a lot of events at the WDF, but there's still been nothing. I found some of the statements of the directors who resigned and then still said Des was the right man. I found their statements were bizarre and contradictory. And I think, you know, my overriding assessment of Des's regime is that, yes, he came in with the right intentions, but ultimately he made a lot of mistakes. And we could now be in a position where the BDO is finished. You know, the WDF looks like they're taking over the running of the major tournaments. Dez is gone. There's no chairman in place. It looks, you know, the organisation looks a bit of a mess. The board of directors is half full. And then we saw in the last week or so the formation of the Tri-Nations Darts Group, which they're trying to kind of seize control of the running of the county game in the UK. That group is formed by the bodies in Scotland, Wales and England. And they're going to have two directors from each of those on a board of six. They want to take charge of the running of the British Intercounties Championship, the BICC, the Gold Cup, the Champions Cup and Super League. And obviously we need to wait and see whether there's going to be buy-in from all the individual counties to what they're planning. But they certainly look to put a lot of work into it from the stuff I've seen. You know, they've already kind of confirmed themselves as members of the WDF, which is, you know, in these current times, that looks like a big draw. They look as though they're trying to cooperate with executives from, you know, dart manufacturers and the likes of, you know, Matt Porter at the PDC and people involved with the WDF project like Richard Ashdown. And, you know, if they can take the running of the county game and provide security for the county game away from the BDO, what has the BDO got left? WDF takes the majors, they take the county game, the BDO has nothing left. And ultimately, they look in a position where they're so damaged in the media, it might well be the end. It doesn't mean that's the end for grassroots darts. There's always going to be a place for that. It just might mean it's the end of the British Darts Organisation's role in that. And that might end up being the ultimate legacy of Dez's regime. And whether that's all his fault, I don't know. It's not my place to comment. But that's certainly how it's going to possibly look to a number of people, or maybe how the history books make it seem. But on the note of Dez's resignation, the lads at the Weekly Darts Cast tackled this last week and they did a tremendous job. They went into, you know, good detail about it. So I'd urge you to check that out as well if you want perhaps a less rambly assessment of Dez's. You know, if you want to chat to me more about it, you can get in touch with me on Twitter at amsinclair97. You can also get in touch with the podcast at Inside the BDO. Now, on a more positive note, Amanda Harwood made a comeback to the game in recent months after taking some time off. And she's, you know, really hit the ground running. She won a pairs title in Malta at the back end of 2019, and then she won a singles title in Romania at the start of the year. And I managed to catch up with Amanda earlier in the week to talk about, you know, the last few months and her plans for the years ahead. So check it out. I am now joined by recent Romania Classic winner, Amanda Harwood. How are you, Amanda?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm as well as I can be in these trying times.
Well, yeah, exactly.
obviously, you came back and, you know, you won Romania at the start of the year and you did well at the back end of 2019. But
yeah.
To start, why was it that you stepped away from the sport a few years ago?
Basically, I stepped away because I was going to start a family. And that came before darts. Obviously, being pregnant wasn't good with my darts, so I just walked away and thought I'd give it a rest until she was a little bit older, but still carried on with Super League. Mm-hmm. And carried on going for a few little comps around the country, really.
So then what prompted you to kind of come back and do the tour much more fully?
Well, basically I'd carried on, like I said, doing some competitions locally. And was playing quite well. Then I managed to find a sponsor and who prompted me to start again at the start of the season for the 2019-20 season. So spoke to the husband and he said, go for it.
I mean, you picked up points, you know, for the BDO, WDF, whichever system. You've picked up points in basically every event you've played in since you've come back. Did you have any expectations on performance when you started playing competitively, like in tour events again?
Not really, to be fair. I just wanted to go, see how the darts were going. Like I said, I knew I'd been playing quite well throughout the summer of 2019 because obviously I practice with the husband, who's pretty good. And just literally I thought, if I can go to these, just see how well I go. And just go from there, really.
So I assume
the game is still there.
Well, definitely. So I assume the wins in the Malta pairs and then obviously the singles start in Romania were Maybe a bit of a surprise.
Exactly. They were a bit of a surprise, but like I said, in Malta, my darts surprised me, really. I played really well, and, in the pairs, winning that with Jo Locke just spurred me on a bit more, and now she wants to come along and do things as well. It's nice to have someone to go around with, because obviously there was that, but there's no one really in Cambridgeshire that does the tour to go with. So it sort of helped spur me on as well, because obviously we've got someone to share costs and everything with, even though we've got sponsors.
Well, definitely, and I can imagine, the nature of the tour, you're going to Hungary, Slovakia, whatever, the costs mount up quite quickly.
Exactly, they do. So having a sponsor really does help out.
In Romania, obviously, you'd won the title there back in 2014, so you knew the setup. But, in the final, you averaged, over 75. How pleased were you with, that whole weekend? But also, how did you find the setup? Because there's been a lot of state investment in the sport since you played last time.
Oh, I've been following Romania all the time, because that's where I first, like you said, that's where I first won a competition. They made me so welcome that year that I went over there, because it was like one of their first years of ever playing. I got friendly with one of the girls, Andrea, who we won the pairs the same year. And I just love it over there. So, it was just, I just felt so relaxed, even though they had the new setup, which everyone was having to get used to. I just really like it over there. We take a lot of people over there with us. There was like 25 of us in total, probably. So, it was a good home-from-home competition, really.
And what was it like to win the event in front of your husband and your daughter?
Oh, brilliant. And I had no nerves. I couldn't believe it. I'm quite a nervous person. But it was just like, because I played nearly all day on the Sunday as well, I think, I just went up there with no nerves. Which is unusual for me, and I just did what I had to do. And it was hard playing the lady I played, because she'd knocked me out in the first round the previous year, so I was like, I knew I had a good game, and I knew she does quite well on the tour, I just done what I had to do.
So, mate, will we be, obviously we're in a difficult situation now, but, what will be the setup in terms of, future events? Are we like to see your daughter making any more appearances?
Well, she was supposed to be coming to Estonia, but obviously that's now been cancelled. She will definitely be coming along. She doesn't start school until next year properly. She's still at nursery, so she can still come for another year. Obviously, things might have to change once she's back at school. She loves it. She loves everyone, and they all love her. So she fits in quite well.
And obviously, I saw you. Your husband played in those tournaments as well. What's the setup with him in terms of tournaments this year? Is it going to be playing events you play in as and when we're back to normal?
Yeah, he's basically going to come to what ones he can, but he's not really doing the BDO or WDF circuit this year, not concentrating on it anyway. He's more than likely going to look at Goostall next year, and he's got a sponsor lined up for that, so... Yeah, next year could be complicated, because it'll be having to figure out which ones we can both go to and which ones we can't go to. Working around Lily.
I mean, you talk like the BDO WDF, I say you picked up points. You're sitting just outside the top 25 in both systems now. And obviously, it's a bit up in the air, not only this season, but also, the future of the BDO, where the major tournaments lie. How do kind of your results so far, how does that, influence the way you map out the, the months ahead? Obviously, we're in a bit of limbo now, but what was the plan before all this stuff happened?
Well, the plan was to do two or three a month. I'd got I still have got quite a few booked, so it's a case of trying to chase money back for flights that are now going to get cancelled, et cetera, so it is just waiting to see now when this passes and when we can start again. I will be going to any that I can within reason, because obviously we do have to work it around Lily. I can't be away every weekend. So, it's just waiting on, like I say, everyone's in limbo as to when we're going to be able to play again.
And I mean, how is this COVID-19 situation affecting you and the family, not just in a dart sense, but in your home life?
It's not too bad for us. I mean, Bill is a key worker. So he has to go to work, but obviously he's having to be careful because he's coming back home to me and her. She's obviously got no nursery, that's closed down, but luckily I was only part-time, so it shouldn't affect us too much, but yeah, I'm just, and look after her, really, and keep her safe.
And obviously she's not going to nursery, not quite at school yet, but how's the kind of home tuition going?
Well, we're doing a lot of planning in the garden. With the sun being out, she's doing a lot of pretending to do kitchen things and stuff like that, because obviously she's not into the adding up and things yet, because she's only 3 and a half. But, we're keeping busy.
That's all you can do, really, at the moment.
It is, yeah, it is.
As someone who stepped away for a time, something I did want to address, what were the biggest things that had changed in the ladies' game that you noticed when you came back?
Mainly, it was the amount of ladies now on the tour. Ladies that, be fair, I don't really recognise. You know, I did darts when I started with the likes of Dorothy and Tricia Wright and people like that all on the tour, and they've all left and the youngsters are all coming in, and, you know, I know Fallon, I know Casey, those sort of girls, but there's a lot of faces on the tour, a lot. And there seems to be a lot more competitions for ladies.
I mean, that can only be a good thing, surely.
Yes, that is a good thing. Yeah, definitely a good thing. I mean, the money's still not great, but it's more money than it was in the years when I used to play. So a lot of things have changed.
Is there anything that hasn't particularly changed?
I think it's the same thing, really. The ladies are always fighting for more legs to play in a game, making the games longer, and more money. But when the entries fall flat sometimes, how can you support the money if the people aren't there? It's a difficult one, but it's always going to be difficult, I think.
So you're only a few months into your comeback, and obviously it's sort of now suspended with the calendar in limbo, but... Have you got any overriding ambitions now you're back playing the tour regularly?
Just to hopefully get on that world stage at the end of the year if it still all goes ahead. Fingers crossed. I won Romania, so I'm going to have a chance.
And in the previous years, you played for England. Is that something you'd like to try and do again?
It is and it isn't. I have, I've always said to myself, I've been there, done it. I'm not too interested in playing county anymore. It's something that I find is a waste. Well, it is a waste of money. You spend a lot of money on these weekends when you could be doing other things. So I've sort of lost interest in county after playing it for like 26 years. That gives my age away. and I just think it's time for a change to do other things.
Well, certainly, and I know we're obviously in a difficult situation now, but the standard you've been producing since you've come back, you're definitely going to be in with a shout of making it to that world whenever and wherever that may be, and whoever's umbrella it will be under.
Hopefully, yes, hopefully they can stay there. I'm still practicing, I'm out here tonight practicing, so it's what you've got to do when you can. And just keep your fingers crossed that it will all get back to normal.
Well, definitely, and thank you very much for coming on, and I wish you all the best for the months ahead, and also good luck with the childcare arrangements for the next few months as well.
Well, if you're ever about, you can always look after us. Thanks for talking to
me. No worries. Thank you very much, Amanda. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Amanda. She's a really friendly, bubbly person. I mean, she's hit the ground running since she's come back, and I know she said her darts had surprised her. Well, she clearly looks very comfortable up there, and, with kind of guaranteed time of practice at home with her husband and whatever, when there's no events to play, and she's got the sponsorship behind her, and she certainly looks set to play a really full role on the tour moving forward. And I think the darts she's producing, she's going to be someone we're seeing in the latter stages competitions, in finals, and maybe on the in the winner's enclosure for the months and years ahead. And I think her ambition of playing in the World Championship, given the way she's played, doesn't look far away, to be perfectly honest. Interesting to hear her comments on, playing for county as well. I know a few players certainly feel that the county weekends are a lot of investment, a lot of travel and a lot of time, especially if you have a young family. But there again, for others, it's, it's an institution in the Darton calendar. So, it's interesting to hear the different perspectives. Well, that's basically it for this episode of Inside the BDO / WDF. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Thank you to both the guests, Scott and Amanda. You can follow them both on social media. I'll tag them in the tweet. Facebook as well. I'm sure you can get in touch with them if you want to. And my main thing now, just to wrap up, is where we go from here. Because obviously, with no darts on the horizon, it kind of makes recording a podcast that looks at events that have happened and events that are moving, you know, in the next month or so, and talking to players who've had recent success or recently had some notoriety, kind of makes things a little bit more difficult. So I think how I proceed from here might not be a traditional monthly podcast in April, May. It might be a case of some individual interviews, maybe talking to certain players about their assessment on Dez's regime, how they'd assess it and how they see the lie of the land now. I know previous interview with Aaron Turner, that's something we both discussed, wanting to have that conversation and fleshing that out at a later date. So that might be something, well, that is something I'm looking at doing over the next month or so, is having some individual interviews that releasing in audio for you guys, you know, the usual place, Podbean and iTunes, promoting through the Twitter. And likewise, I think I'm going to look at trying to do some more written stuff on the Darts Planet TV website as well, you know, doing some written interviews with players, you know, that possibly not the easiest to get over the phone. But, you know, also players just had a good few recent months, just keep their names out there, you know, keep the content coming. The Twitter, I'll keep you updated with news and information as soon as I see it, as always. But yeah, I think we're going to see, you know, me experimenting and doing a load of darts content. Definitely going to be doing the content, because people are going to be as available now as they have been, you know, or they're going to be more available, if anything. But also, with no tournaments, you know, you want to keep people out there, keep people's names out there. So there will be content for me. And the best place to obviously find that is on the Twitter, at Inside the BDO. You can follow me at AMSinclair97. If you have any suggestions, tips, or things you'd like to see me do and work on, send me a tweet, drop me a message, do whatever. But as always, thank you very much for listening if you've got this far. And stay safe, look after your families, you know, wash your hands, whatever. Until next time.